My dear religious and parishioners, we have in this gospel today a very plain warning. And the immediate lesson should be very obvious indeed, and one that we don't have to struggle for at all in these times. Perhaps 70 years ago, it would have been a little more difficult to grasp what our Lord was saying, that what an awful thought that there might be wolves in sheep's clothing, false shepherds. Of course, from the very beginning, we must say, since Judas, there have been bad priests in the church. But only in these last decades has it become so clear, abundantly obvious, that the entire hierarchy of what was the Catholic Church has been usurped by these false prophets, bad shepherds. And so we don't need to go into a lesson of Vatican II and modernism and the false popes, the false hierarchy that we see in what is the so-called Catholic Church. These things we know. But I want to consider this tactic of the devil in a little bit more detail. We know, of course, that Satan is the father of lies. As we see in the evil that has come from Vatican II and since the death of Pope Pius XII, so much damage is able to be done because mixed in with the lie, or rather, we might say, there are lies mixed in with truth. That this is the cunning of the devil, really. Very rarely does he give us an outright lie. People tend to have a nose for lies. And so, in his cunning, he mixes in just a little bit of falsehood in what we know to be truth. And the implementation of modernism, we know through experience, came about in just this way. Little things, the insertion of the name of St. Joseph into the canon of the Mass. What is wrong with that? It is the Pope's prerogative. And then the next little change, little tweaks to the Roman Missal, then little changes to the Mass. No longer receive Holy Communion kneeling, but you can stand. And then from there, well, if you're standing, why not receive it into your hand? That's convenient. Etc., etc. And so we see the devil's cunning, that he always portrays lies as though they are truth. The wolf in sheep's clothing. But what is true, and we may not have the greatest awareness of this, is that the devil clothes many lies in our daily lives in what are apparent truths. And that he, by manipulation and cunning, can make us if we are not very careful, into traitors ourselves. This is something I was thinking of with this gospel. How despicable is a traitor? There's something deep within our soul that is repulsed by the thought of a traitor. The first and most notable case being Judas, one of the chosen 12, who had been given every opportunity. He was hand-picked by our Lord to be in his chosen circle, and yet, one of the greatest traitors of all time. This is something in our daily experience we tend to be on a lookout for, those people that we don't really trust. And when there is an act of betrayal, we are shocked and disgusted. A very interesting experience. Remember a woman who became friends of the family some time ago had the most incredible story that believe was entirely true, but she had unwittingly married a Freemason. And incredibly, this man, for more than 20 years, behaved like a faithful Catholic. And what is more, a traditional Catholic. Not Novus Ordo for a time, and then they found their way to tradition. He was regularly receiving the sacraments. And some 20 years into their marriage, they had several children. Some irregularities started to come up. The wife became aware of some rather strange things. And little by little, she uncovered the truth. And her husband eventually came clean, because I'm sure he saw there was no more point in the charade. And he was, yes, indeed, a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. His determination, his lifelong goal, was the destruction of the Catholic Church. And he had lived these 20 years doing his best to infiltrate. The shock of this story was just incredible. And sadly, after this point, of course, they did not remain together. And he made her life miserable in every way possible. Found out that he had many connections. She had difficulty accessing hospitals and banks. The betrayal was astounding. And stories like this sort of give us, they make us shudder. They send a chill down our spine. But the examination really must be made of our own lives, our own souls. Is it possible that we ourselves behave like traitors? At least sometimes. God forbid that we turn our backs entirely on God. This must not be the case. But still, if we are to examine for a moment what it is we have been given, we have been given an opportunity much the same as Judas. Has not Almighty God called us into his chosen circle? Are we not, in very truth, his elect? We have the true faith. We have all of this incredible knowledge. We have an abundance of graces. And yet, we still find ourselves sinning. If this is the case, then it's true, in some degree, we are traitors. Now, granted, our human nature is very weak. We are rather by nature traitorous. St. Philip Neri was known to say when waking every morning, "Lord, beware of Philip, he will try to betray you today." He always had this caution, this understanding of the weakness of his own human nature, and was always on his guard to never let this happen. But we have to say, if we are not living our faith and we are being bad examples, particularly to those closest to us, parents for your children, do you really live the faith? Do you pray your family prayers together? Do you try to give them an example of hard work, humility, patience? Again, we're weak. We'll stumble from time to time. But if the consistent effort is not there, and we call ourselves Catholic, are we not behaving, at least in some degree, as a wolf in sheep's clothing? We're giving ourselves the name of Catholic and yet giving a bad example? This is no doubt an uncomfortable observation that we must make of ourselves, but it is necessary. In what way are we not living out our faith? Is it at home? Is it at work? Is it when we are by ourselves? Because we must remember, we are never by ourselves. We have always the obligation at every moment to live like Catholics, to live virtuous lives, to use the graces given us by Almighty God through our Catholic faith. So when we think of these examples, we read the gospel today. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. This may not be just the false popes sitting in the chair of St. Peter in Rome, or Freemasons pretending to be Catholics. No, we must make that observation. We must try and see in our own hearts where we may be hypocrites. Our Lord goes on to tell us, "Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. By their fruits you shall know them." What an opportunity. At the same time, yes, an obligation, but what an opportunity to do something for this sinful world, to bear good fruit, to be the example that the world so desperately needs. Remember, we have been given a great treasure, and it is not ours to hold under the bushel. If we hide this treasure, we will be guilty. Our Lord told us this in a parable. The servants that were given the talents, the two went and traded and increased their number of talents. The one buried his talent and was judged accordingly. No, we have been given the most precious of all treasures, that is the truth. We must not be selfish. We must not be hypocritical. And we must remember that it doesn't take incredible efforts to spread the Catholic faith and to share this treasure. No, it is simply by our example. We don't have to go and study rhetoric and find a platform from which we can preach and wag our fingers and make a big stir. No. We share this treasure. We spread the faith first and foremost by our example. It cannot be understated what example can do. Who knows the heart that might be touched by seeing a group of fervent people praying the rosary in downtown Spokane? A soul might be saved by a simple action like this. And the saving of one soul is worth all of the work of a lifetime. So, my dear friends, let us, like St. Philip Neri, be cautious of our own weak nature. Let us always be on the lookout for hypocrisy, being ourselves wolves in sheep's clothing. We cannot allow this to happen. But even beyond this, let us practice our faith in the privacy of our homes so that it is then easy to give that example to those around us. To give that example to the rest of the world, wherever we can. To be that good tree our Lord speaks of. To do our very best to bear much fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.